What a blessing to see so many children. Longhurst is, we do have children. We started children ministry with other small churches. We meet at 3 o'clock at Newbrook on Sundays, and we also started our youth meeting. If you ever want to join us, or you want to figure out what in the world is all those people doing up there, that we're just having fun and praising God. Today's scripture, New Testament scripture, comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 20. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among the saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is, an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God has come to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are the light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, if you hadn't figured out, I am country southern. And that's not why I'm up here barefooted. There is another story behind that, but we won't get into that. Just know that I preach barefooted. I grew up over in Durham County on a farm, big family. There's six kids, and I was in the middle. My grandpa Martin, he died when I was just 3 years old. I don't remember very much of him at all. Having been farmers and farmers can have a bad year and it'll put a farmer in debt. They were in debt. The fields were full of tobacco already planted. And Grandpa died. The family got in the crop that year, but my grandma had to go in public work. She got a job at the local elementary school. Now, I don't know if y'all remember those days, but that's when the ladies actually showed up very early in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning. They shelled the beans. They peeled the potatoes. They cut up the meat. They actually cooked on an open fire stove. It was hot. You got a good meal. Kids don't get that nowadays. It's shipped in and they put it in a microwave. So sad. Those were the good days. Well, Grandma had to learn a number of things after Grandpa died. And one of the things that she had learned was how to drive a car. She knew how to drive a tractor, but it's different driving a car. My Aunt Ruby taught her, but I think she went to the Richard Petty School. It was all gas, all brake. Well, as we grew up, we would get to ride home with Grandma occasionally for school. My oldest brother Marty would be in the front seat with Grandma, and my oldest sister Shell, my little brother Kevin, and me in the middle. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever been in the middle of a roller coaster, you know, or the Himalayan ride or something, but back then the seats were vinyl, and Grandma rode like drove like Richard Petty, you know, full speed ahead. We lived on a dirt road that when it rained, it became like an old washboard, you know, you felt every bump. Well, Grandma, she would go around those curves sometimes, and she would actually use the ditch as a bank. And it was multiple curves. We'd go one way, and then we turn around and go the other. I'm in the middle. I get squished. But it was just the way that she drove. My brother would sometimes be up in the front seat. Grandma, keep it between the ditches. I think my brother could have actually drove better than she did. Well, today when you drive down the road, we see signs of all kinds, don't we? We actually have signs that warns us about the deer crossings, the school zones, and stop signs to tell us to stop. We have speed limit signs. We have do not enter signs, you know, a one-way sign, evacuation signs, stop signs, you know, oh, stop ahead signs. Not only do we have a stop sign, we have a stop ahead sign. There's all kinds of signs that we use to keep us safe. On the interstate, we have medians to keep us going the wrong way on the interstate, right? In the mountains, we have guardrails to protect us from going over onto the side. See, Grandma would have never worked. She would have taken out those guardrails. We have everything to keep us safe. We have evacuation routes, signs that lead to that. If you open up your medicine cabinet, you got all kinds of things that tells you not that this is poison, right? The skull and crossbones, poison, stay away. Different side effects are going to be there, right? We have the emergency broadcast system that tells us that there's a bad storm coming up. You can even get that on your phone now, an alert. Well, Paul is telling the Ephesians, he's warning them. See, they're living, trying to live a godly life in a pagan city. There's greed, there's cheating, there's obscene and silly and vulgar talk. There's sexual lust and other lust. There's stealing, deceitful tongues, gossiping, laziness, drunkenness, adultery. It's just evil all around them. And if you could name it, Ephesus had it. Does that remind you of any place today? What? The living word tells us that we can apply even what Paul wrote in the first century to today's America, to right here, right where we live in. He tells us, first of all, that we are to be imitators of God as his children, living in love as Christ loved us and he gave himself for us as a sin sacrifice. You know, I look like my daddy. But I act like my mama. But I'm supposed to be like Jesus, an imitator. He tells us to be saints, not mentioning that you even forget about doing any of that stuff. Just get it out of your mind right now. You're a saint. There is no place in the kingdom for those who do all that stuff. I take that for the kingdom that's here on earth because God's the kingdom, we pray, right? In the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We are not to be fornicators, cheaters, liars. We're not to be greedy or lazy. We are not to be vulgar or gossipers, drunkards, any of that stuff that we know is bad. When we accept Jesus Christ, we repent. Repent means reformed. So you turn from the darkness to the light. Bad, good. Verses 6 and 7 says that we are not to be deceived. We're not to be duped or hoodwinked. We are not to believe those little things that won't hurt us, you know? You ever had that to happen? When someone offers you some drugs, you say, oh, you can't get hooked on it just once. Or when you click on that site on the internet, that site that you shouldn't go to, and you say, well, everybody does it. It's not like I'm doing it to a real person. Or what about when you stop to get that drink on the way home from work? One won't hurt. Well, if you speak to a recovering alcoholic, they'll tell you that one drink is too many and 100 is not enough. Or what about when you go shopping and you see that item you really want, but you know there ain't no money in the checking account for that. And you hear, I says, you know, I have a credit card. I could charge it. Pay for it later. Or what about when you flirt with that young waitress and you say to yourself, I'm only looking, I'm not touching. Deceivers can be someone else. But most of the time, the deceiver is ourselves. Verses 8 through 14, Paul stresses that when we became Christians, we became part of the light, that we are to shine. And in Matthew 5:14, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. Even a city upon a hill cannot hide our light. That we are to shine and not be hidden in the darkness of a basket. Remember? Dark bad, light good. How many times do we see our brother and sister who are turning away from the light, heading toward the ditches of life? Do we just let them go? You know, it's none of our concern what they do. Do we warn them? You know, part of this is we need to be guardrails for our brothers and sisters. Amen? Isn't that what we're called to do? We're called to love each other. We're called to help each other, encourage each other, work with each other. Are we a guardrail for our brothers and sisters? Or are we going to talk about them later in the dark? Paul tells us to expose it. You know, it's hard to do that today, isn't it? When we're supposed to mind our own business, and if it doesn't affect us, it doesn't matter. Well, that ain't what Christ told us to do. He exposed, and he did it in love, not in condemnation. Have you ever said anything like, no, I don't think that's a good idea? That you and fill in the blank. Because you know what? Whether we like to admit it or not, folks, we all have a blank. We all have something that we will be tempted by. We all have something that is a weakness. We all have something that we want to turn and go back to. And as Christians, we are to be the guardrails to help each other to stay on the road and out of life's ditches. Now, for some of us, that's could be the internet. Some of it could be turning on that TV, you know, binge watching. How much time can we waste watching TV, right? It may be alcohol, it may be drugs, it may be spending money you don't have, or it may be charging extra, getting 150% profit when you could live on a 50% profit. We all have something. Verses 15 through 17, if you have your Bible, I'm going to reread that because this to me is one of the highlights of what Paul says. He says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not waste time, for the times are evil. Can we all agree that the times we're living in are evil? Do we see it? Imagine that dirt road that I lived on. It's paved now, by the way. It's kind of smoothed out. They didn't straighten it out, but they smoothed it out. That road is your life. And every day you are on this road. You're driving up the hills. You're going around the curves. And on both sides of the road is ditches. Ditches are your temptations. Ditches are the things that will get you off the road. If you turn too fast, you can run right into them. You might be able to drive out like Grandma did, as long as you got two sets of tires on the road. But sometimes that water's done made those ditches deep, and you're not going to drive out. Not until you have a tow truck to come get you. Verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Now, debauchery means an act that of extreme indulgence that will cause you to lose control or to corrupt. Paul uses drunkenness. But you can apply whatever your blank is to that. What will cause you to lose control? Is it going to the shopping center? Is it going on the internet or turning on the TV? Is it going into the bar? Is it turning your head to see something you shouldn't be looking at? Whatever it is that causes you to lose control and risk sin, Paul says, avoid it. Don't do it. Sound the alarm system. Whatever warning signs you have in your life that needs to keep you out of the ditches, turn it on. So that's hard, isn't it? It's hard because we're human. And we're weak, and we want to go there so bad. But Paul tells us in verse 18 what to do. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, no matter how you were baptized, if you were sprinkled, poured, immersed, or as our Quaker brothers and sisters says, dry clean only, that's an outward public announcement that you believe in Jesus Christ and that you accept him as your Savior. It's essential. But when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, our spiritual baptism is more important than any water could ever be, because the Spirit takes up root inside of you. And it's not visible until we start behaving like Jesus Christ. Until we put on Christ. Paul actually tells us to do that, put on Christ. I call it my super underwear. You know, have you ever thought about that? You get up in the morning, you go to the closet, you wonder what you're going to wear. Pull out the Holy Spirit first and put that on. Tell me when you won't have a good day. It makes a difference. Because in this life, there will be dangers. There are ditches. And you need the warning signs. You need the guardrails. You need whatever it takes to keep it between the ditches. Verses 19 and 20 says that when we have tapped into the Holy Spirit, not only, this is where it gets good, not only will we be driving in the light, but we'll be driving singing and praising and thanking God. And I can tell you, sometimes when we got home from school, we thank God that we made it. When we are filled with the Spirit, and when each of us are filled with Spirit, not only is the Spirit keeping us through on the right road, but we can help each other stay between the right road, God's road, out of the ditches. We're to love each other. We're to guard each other. We're to be filled with the Spirit so we can watch over each other. And we're to do it and shine because we are the light. And you know, when you become the light, other people kind of notice, don't they? You're a little bit different than everybody else. How are you handling this? How are you keeping your life out of the ditches? And that gives you the opportunity to witness to them, which is the other thing we're called to do, to witness. There's always a chance. There's always a door. There's always a window. And there's always somebody there that hasn't got their life out of the ditches. And they may need you to help pull them out. And you do that with Jesus Christ. Is your life in the ditch? Do you need someone to come and help? Looks like to me you got a lot of brothers and sisters that'd be willing to help you. Sometimes they don't know you're in the ditch. You may have to tell them, I need a helping hand. I need a guardrail. There's temptation around me. Can you help me? Don't say it's none of your business. It is. This is your family. Will you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for the Holy Spirit that you put inside each and every one of us. And Lord, we wish we could say that we don't see those temptations, we don't see those ditches, but Lord, there are times when we will drive right into them. Forgive us. But Lord, also open our eyes and open our hearts that we will see our fellow brothers and sisters. We will see when they're heading in the wrong direction and or in a ditch. Give us the strength to be there with them. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us. For your kingdom come. It is in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.